Hey, what's up? It's Josh Madden. I'll say, oh, you know what I forgot? I always forget.
Yeah.
Hey, young world, it's your world. Josh Madden and Trent.
Trent Benegas.
On First Person. We are, you know what, Trent, you brought up something good about making imagery around the show. Mm-hmm. Maybe Trent is the Trent. I'm graphically designerly not inclined. I mean, I guess I could do it in stories or something. Yeah. Just do it like janky like that. Maybe I'll try that. I think for the promotion of these shows, we should maybe like keep it a secret. I don't know, but I don't know if anyone cares. Anyways, the band tonight, I want to kick it off with a song that is from a greatest hits that is like a late in their catalog song that I think is really dope. We've been talking about bands and how like a younger generation might discover a band later along
in their career.
And you know, and they don't even know some of the early stuff that their older, you know, counterpart fans like. Let's kick this show off with this song. Steve's Boy is the title of the song, and we'll kick it off with music right away. Is that cool, Trent?
Perfect.
And then we'll come back and talk about Das Music. First Person.
Hello, it's me, your son again. I let myself in. Save your life, back to ruin your day. I can't make you well, I can't make you love me, but I'm not leaving here without you. Steve won't let you die alone in the desert.
And we're back on First Person. It's Josh Madden and
Trent Benegas.
And we're here with Mike Fish. I want to shout out Mike Fishkin.
What's up, guys?
Yeah, Mike is here with our show. I'm dragging you into like, he produces this thing. It wouldn't be possible without him.
He's been with us day one, every step of the way.
Yep. So tonight we're talking about the Lemonheads, listening to some Lemonheads songs. Mm-hmm. I'm a gigantic Lemonheads fan. My family is. There are Lemonheads lyrics ripped off in Good Charlotte songs.
Yeah.
People totally don't, I think, know. And I don't think they asked by anyone knowing, by the way. But huge influence on a lot of stuff that we do. Lemonheads are an interesting band out of Boston. Mm-hmm. We've mentioned them before. Mm-hmm. Their friends, you know, Evan Dando and
Juliana Hatfield.
Their moms met in a hair salon, I believe, the story goes. It's an interesting band. Mammoth Records. I'm trying to think of what Mammoth Records was. What I think they were a subsidiary of. Oh man, I don't know. I don't want to say the wrong thing. If it was like Sire or something like that. Yeah. You know, it's an interesting band. And Trent, you brought something up that's really, really interesting. You know, they had songs. They had records out before. You know, the record Lovey. Which it's funny because, like, some of my favorite songs are. I mean. The whole Shame About Ray record is amazing, but some of my favorite songs are off of Lovey. And you brought up something interesting, like, what if you're, you know, and, you know, it's interesting because there's a couple bands like this. Let's name a couple. You said if you're like, song that breaks you is a...
Is a cover of someone else's song.
Here's the interesting thing about that, from my perspective. Trent's wearing his yellow glasses, as I am too. We need to take a photo for this. I love it. I fucking love it. Here's the deal. My stance on that is, A, if you are a, what people call a one-hit wonder or something like that, and your big song is a cover, I'm okay with that. Whatever. I think that if you are a really fucking amazing band and that opens, like, look at Limp Bizkit. Faith. I don't think that's the best. I think Faith is a huge song, but it's funny because Faith really broke them through to like MTV, TRL and all that stuff. And I will say openly that I think it's not the best Limp Bizkit song. It's cool and everything. And I think a lot of people know that song. So it brings a lot of people together, you know, when you're playing Woodstock was a big moment for them. But I think it's interesting because I think that like the Lemonheads, Shame About Ray, again, I don't think. I mean, what are some other bands that for you that lets?
Well, we talked about Susie the Banshees many shows ago, and a lot of people know them from their cover of Dear Prudence by the Beatles, which is an amazing cover. I love their version of it. for me, that's not what I think about when I think about Susie and the Banshees, but there's a segment of the of their audience that I'm sure, because it was a big hit on MTV, and like that's when their audience, or a segment of the audience, probably picked up on that band.
It's funny because a guy that I work with named Naveed, shout out Naveed, was listening to the show and didn't know that The Weeknd's House of Balloons, which is kind of opened a lot for The Weeknd. Mm-hmm. That House of Balloons, that sample, it's interesting because he was like, whoa, what? And it's, I think it can open you up to.
Speaking of samples, like The Verve, their biggest hit.
Is it Rolling Stones?
Is a Rolling Stones sample.
Yep. It's interesting. I think for the Lemonheads, I think that, again, talking about the 90s stuff, mm-hmm. I think that their songs got in some movies that were like rom-coms and this and that. Mm-hmm. And I think the Lemonheads live in a really strange space because fully an indie band, fully broke off of a small indie record label. Mike's taking pictures and I'm going to... Don't post that shit.
Oh no!
Don't post that shit. We have to post. I fucking hate. I hate non-post photos.
Oh man, I was like, this is a beautiful candid moment.
I'm so not secure with non-post photos. Anyways, the thing with the Lemonheads is, I think that the larger world learned about them through covers and like mm-hmm. cute songs, mm-hmm. you know, like rom-coms, mm-hmm. and I think the cool kids. We're seeing them in small. Where I saw them in like yep. smaller places, and I think it's a weird existence for a band because you're like I think if the Lemonheads happened today, mm-hmm. it would be like Spoon or like it would be fucking huge. Mm-hmm. I think if the Lemonheads happened today,
yeah.
it would be like what's the big band that uses all the floor toms and the mandolins and stuff like that?
Mumford and Sons.
Yes. I feel like they would be like Mumford & Sons. Because mm-hmm. Mumford & Sons is like an indie-sounding band or whatever that like the whole world has yep. decided we like yep. this. And it's like interesting because it is an indie sound that the whole world has decided that they like. And I just think for the Lemonheads, I think the world wasn't ready for it.
You know, and last week we talked a little bit about like, you know, what's a sellout and all of that kind yeah. of bullshit. But
yeah.
I can understand how. So the Lemonheads had three records out before "It's a Shame About Ray."
Yeah,
and "It's a Shame About Ray" has the Mrs. Robinson cover, which is like massive. And anyone who knows Lemonheads knows that they do a cover of that song. And
yeah,
it's a great song. I mean, I guess I can understand how, you know, maybe a fan who'd been with them from the beginning was like, oh, like. You know, this song is like their sellout song or something. But I don't even think that wasn't even the intention. They covered the song because they liked it, and they did such a fucking good job with it that
yeah.
it took on a life of its yeah. own, independent of the original version, which is similar but not exact.
Yeah. Well, the other thing, too, and we'll talk about it. We're going to play some more music, but Evan Dando does a lot of covers.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot, like they did that record Varshans.
But I feel like don't you know like when I hear a band do a cover, it's because they love that artist.
Yeah,
they want to pay homage to that yeah. artist, or yeah. it's just a fucking great song, and they're inspired to, you know, put their own spin on
Dude, there's a story. Look, we're gonna play some music just because I want to play a lot of music this show. Mm-hmm. I want to play this song Half the Time from Lovey and another song, and then we'll come right back. I'll tell you. Evan Dando, I'll say of everything, I don't know if he loves very much other than music.
Mm-hmm.
That guy like lives for music. He's like the OG Pete Doherty. Like
yeah.
really like that guy like loves music. Like for real. And I back him because he's a wild child, but he loves music and I you know, it's tight. So let's kick it with Half the Time off of Lovey. Lemonheads, first person.
There's a crow flying down from over the hill, cracked pane on my windowsill. Each morning brook provides a girl, forget my evening feeling world. When day gets dark, it seeps into my skin. Then I recall the spark that kept me sane. Can't talk to you, it's plain. Won't start to name my pain. Won't forget, I don't know why it took.
All right, we're back on First Person. We're talking about the Lemonheads. Listen to Lemonheads. It's Josh Madden and
Trent Venegas.
And we're here with Mike Fishkin. And so we just listened to Half the Time. And the other song was
Into Your Arms.
Yeah. And so, look, that Come On Feel record. It's funny because I sold a bunch of vintage t-shirts last year and I got rid of like a couple of Lemonheads t-shirts. It sucked. But man, that Come On Feel record, Lovey, the Shame About Ray record, and, you know, and that's interesting. That Shame About Ray song, I think, is as big as the Ms. Robinson song, personally. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you this, and this is, we're talking about Evan Dando loving, being like a true like music lover. Mm-hmm. The interesting thing for me is that, so I'm a huge Oasis fan, and Oasis, when they're coming up, their first record, what you have to, I mean, if you don't have to, but if you're smart, you go play a bunch of record stores.
Yeah.
And I was looking at these photos, man, I forget what year this was. This was like new internet. When the internet happened, all I did was like search for photos of people. Because I just like, that's really all I use the internet for, is like searching for images that I think I remember this one time that so-and-so did this. And like, I look for photos and I just like, I just love the photos because, yeah. But the Lemonhead, the Oasis toured around, you know, the UK in support of their first record, doing these record stores. And if you look at the fucking photos, and we'll Google it here, but Evan Dando's sitting on the side of the stage.
Yeah.
And you know, when you play record stores, the stage is like just like a little 6 inches up, or like maybe
barely
a foot and a half up.
Yeah.
And he's sitting on the side, like not like on doing like his own thing, like not in the photo and not playing with the band. I think he had like a tambourine in some photos. Mm-hmm. And I remember, so then I Googled and I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, what were they like touring together? Like, what happened? And he was friends with Liam, and Noel was asked about it in an interview. And he was like, I had no idea who the guy was. Like, he was like, I had no idea who the guy was. He was with Liam and he just got in the bus and just started riding around places with us. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's fucking crazy, because at the time, so wrap your head around this. Evan Dando is bigger than Oasis at the time.
At the time, yeah.
So it's like interesting, yeah. Like you have this guy.
But was he big in the UK though?
I mean, like
maybe. I mean,
bigger than Oasis.
I
wasn't big. It was their first record. Like, no, but the thing is, like, it's crazy because, like, no, forget it. Even if he wasn't,
yeah.
For someone to just be like, oh man, I love your band, and you're like, thanks. And then he's like, I'm gonna go ride and do your record. Cause like, by
like,
the way,
that's like my dream, to like show up my favorite band's records signing and be like, I'm just gonna hang out on stage.
I'm gonna hop on the bus.
Like, where's the next city? Let's go.
It's crazy because like, it's funny. It's funny because like, look, and here's the thing, and I think I don't know if listeners really realize this, but like, bands don't get paid to do that. They do it to promote their records. Mm-hmm. It's really hard for a band to do this, right?
Well, there aren't record stores anymore, by the way. Can we just say that?
Well, there's actually, no, you're right. Mm-hmm. But you're also, there's a few, because Chase Atlantic did it.
Yeah.
Much respect to those kids. And Waterparks actually did it too. Mm-hmm. Young band, we talk about this, you know, with the bands, and I don't do this show to like shout out the bands I work with, but I'm really proud of them because, look, what I was going to say is like, and The Dose is actually about to do some, and it's really hard for bands. Good Charlotte actually played a secret thing, and it's hard for bands because that once you're playing and you're playing in clubs and you have like a sound system, not even, you know, it's hard to go back and do it in a record store because it's like, it doesn't, you're like, oh, we write songs and they sound like this and this is what it is. And it's hard for people unless they do like two or three acoustic songs,
right.
Which, by the way, you know, bands most of the time are like, oh man, it sounds so much bigger and better when we do it like this. So it's just funny though. It's like bands don't. I don't want to say bands don't enjoy it because they love their fans. They love, you know, whatever, and you love pushing your record and doing this thing. But it's like, it's crazy that this guy is like, I'm from this band, Lemonheads. You know, blah, blah, blah. And like, and I'm just gonna get in your thing. And then the other guy, Noel, who had been Noel's interesting because he had toured with Inspiral Carpets and he'd been a roadie and everything before he was ever in Oasis, and he's just like, whatever, this guy's just riding along with us.
Yeah.
And like sitting on the side of the stage, like playing tambourine and stuff. Like, what? Like, That's another thing. Is like a band's playing, and you're just like, I'm gonna sit over here and just drink some beers and like play some tambourine while you play. And like,
but that's a music
like,
band. I mean,
so interesting.
All,
man.
All I'm hearing is like music band. Like this is a guy that just fucking lives for music.
Yeah. Well, look, we just played. Like I wanted to play Half the Time, and then we played the song after that was Into Your Arms, because it's another thing with the Lemonheads that their sound, if you listen to it, hasn't really changed. Mm-hmm. Like it doesn't really change. Like it's pretty. It's a guy at a guitar, and it's pretty. I fucking love it, man. Because it's just like, it's like when you listen to a Lemonheads record, you know what you're gonna get. And yeah. Anyways, you know. I mean, there's a lot more I want to talk about. Should we play more music or should we keep talking?
Keep talking.
Okay. Interesting. Well, so look. Here's another thing. Okay, no, Trent, go. I'm sorry.
No. I mean, I was just gonna say like that. The whole idea, like how the sound has remained the same, not unlike. Evan's friend and collaborator Julian Hatfield, whose sound is also very similar. I mean, it's not like a negative thing that the sound is similar. Like what you said, like when you get a Lemonheads record, you know what you're going to get. Same thing when you get like a Juliana record, like you know what you're going to get. Like you're going to get smart lyrics, you're going to get like really great melodies. I love her voice and her guitar playing, and it's very interesting that they're.
I almost want to sneak in. So, in this kid got signed. I think he was like 15 or so with his band Noise Attic. But another guy that I really really love is Ben Lee, and one of his first big songs was called "I Wish I Was Him," and it was about Evan Dando. Mm-hmm. He signed to Grand Royal. He was signed to the Beastie Boys label, and crazy because. Evan Dando is also another thing about the Lemonheads is that he's like a band, you know, like he's like bands love this dude and band people, music people love him. And it's interesting to me that, you know, like with all that's going on in music right now, because, you know, you got your like Mac DeMarcos and like all of these things that are like guy and a guitar, girl and a guitar kind of thing, guitar driven music. It's interesting because I think the Lemonheads really, really like I think they really like are a pillar in that kind of thing, in that music, that like you write a rock song and you can do it as he could do it as acoustic. I saw in 2000 blah blah 2000 I want to say it was like 2000 or 2001 I was in Annapolis with my brothers, and they were I think just starting to tour a little bit, and they were home they never were home for more than like 5 days. And they, Evan Dando was going to play the Rams Head. This is like this small venue, you know, sit down venue.
So cool.
Really crazy.
Yeah.
Evan Dando was coming and Ben Lee was the opener. And the first of three was Ben Queller. And another guy that I love. All three of these guys, I love them. But Ben Queller was super young. Benjamin Joel actually knew him. He had been signed to Epic with his band Radish. And I don't know if Radish like ever, you know, what happened with it.
Okay.
But so the show starts, and it's like, you know, I don't know, like 250 people, maybe 200 people. I don't know, a small room.
Yeah.
Sitting down at tables. I think and you know what's crazy? I don't remember anyone standing up throughout the whole thing. But Ben Queller came out playing all this music that was on Sha-Sha, had on like a harmonica, Bob Dylan style.
Yeah.
Then Ben Lee came out. I think Cigarettes or Kill You was out or was about to come out. And then Evan Dando came out. And this is in no way shit-talking because he's the fucking man. Came out with... a big, I want to say like a rocks glass of like tequila.
Okay.
Drank it, threw it against the wall, and like everyone's sitting down, right? It's like literally like a talent show. It feels like a talent show. Comes out, throws it against the wall, is completely fucking obliterated, plays his whole set.
Wow.
Every fucking song you want to hear, perfect. Perfect. Like fucking like the record. I was fucking floored. I was like, this is crazy. Then we end up going backstage after the show, and we're like shook to meet Evan Dando, and we end up hanging out with Ben Queller. This is kind of like a legendary moment, but Ben Queller, Ben Lee, and Ben and Joel end up singing Surrender.
Wow.
with an acoustic guitar. I have no idea why or why it started. I have no idea why it started, but I'm sitting there. I think I was the only person not singing. I got a good voice too, by the way. My voice is pretty good, man.
You keep talking it up this whole season.
My voice is pretty good, man. But the thing is, they play Surrender, and then Evan Dando comes back. Like, they're waiting. Evan Dando comes back. He had gone out like drinking or something like that with like fans, like straight up, cool. like some fans. They were like, oh, they're trying to settle up. They're trying to, like, get, you know, they were touring. It was in a, Ben Queller's Volvo. I think Ben Queller as the opener was the driver. Cool. I think it was the three of them were on tour in a Volvo. No lie. Doing a tour in a Volvo, probably getting, you know, crashing in hotels or whatever.
Yep.
But, or motels or whatever. But doing the three of them were on tour. And it was just like another instance where I was like, dude, this is so sick. Like, A, it's sick because Ben Lee started his career off. And Ben Lee is popping by this point. Ben Lee started his career off with a song about
wanting to be like
Evan Dando.
Yeah.
And Ben Queller, who I'd never heard of before, this is quite a while. It's funny because I ended up later, my stories have stories, but I ended up later when I worked at the 930 Club, I ended up, Ben came and played Ben Queller.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so funny because Sha Sha came out and we got, like, when they were touring, he was selling like a little CD you burn in your room, mm-hmm, with the little stripped on thing.
A CDR, yeah.
He was selling those and giving them out, and it was like a 5-song EP, not on a label. It was just, and it was made in his bedroom.
Yeah.
And I was like, man. And I was like, so when I saw him and he was selling out the 930 Club, I was like, dude, I met you. And he's like, hey man, how are your brothers? Like, he just remembered. I was like, I met you back in Annapolis like a long time ago. And he's like, man, how are your brothers? Like, he remembered. Mm-hmm. I didn't say like, oh, my brothers, you know. I was just like, hey man, I saw you back at this place called the Ram's Den. And he's like, oh yeah, remember we sang Surrender? And I was like, whoa, like, are you fucking kidding me? And he was like, and I was like, dude, it's so crazy to see your record out. Mm-hmm. I love it. I still have the fucking CD you gave me that night. And he's like, man, that's probably worth something. You should sell it on eBay. I was like, no, you know, like, that's not happening, you know? But it's just crazy. It's like, it's crazy to me, like, these people, and I think the society around Evan and Julian as well, I think, is really cool. And, you know, I'm so for this idea that, like, this guy is, like, plays a show and then goes, has drinks with his fans, you know? And he's like, I mean, you know, it's interesting because it's just like this guy that's like sitting on the side of the stage with Oasis, you know? It's so interesting to me because it's like, it's just a guy. Yeah. Like, it's just a dude. Like, you
I
know?
Have a very similar story, and I'll keep it short because I know it's going to be a little bit off topic. But Kelly Deal from The Breeders, after Last Splash was a massive hit and, you know, Breeders kind of blew up, she did her own side thing, the Kelly Deal 6000. And I was in Oklahoma in college, and they played a show in Tulsa. And it was one of those situations where they came off the stage, like, came out into the parking lot and just, like, chilled with everyone who was there. Like, just
that's
hung
sick.
Out, which was awesome. Like, that's so rare. And, you know, I mean, not that bands don't. It's sometimes they can't because it's, like, too much of a mayhem sort of thing, like, crazy fans and that kind of thing. But when a situation like that presents itself and you're there, it's really, really a very special thing because it's, like, respect for the artist who, you know, you love and you came to pay to see. And then they have this equal respect where, you know, it's not just a show for them, a job, and they're leaving. They're just like let's talk, like, let's hang out, which is pretty fucking cool.
Yeah. Well, I think the other thing that's interesting with artists is, like, I'm super comfortable. Like, I talk to artists all the time, and I'm like, you're a fucking superstar.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, man, that's so nice. And I'm like, no, listen to me. Like, you're a superstar. Like, like, it's like someone that, like, cuts hair being like, you have a really good hair.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, thanks. Like, I mean, yeah, but you have really good hair. Like, just let's just, like, put it on Front Street.
Mm-hmm.
And I talk with artists, and I'm like, you're a fucking superstar. Like, not only is the music that you're making really good, but, like, let's talk, let's prepare, because you're a superstar.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, like, it's interesting because I feel like people don't know how to say, like, like, I love your music. And they're like, man, I love my music too. Mm-hmm. And then just fucking like, it's this weird exchange. Like, your music is the reason that people know you.
Right.
Right. And I say this because I know a couple people that are like that, you know, like I know people that are like, oh, wow, thanks so much. Like, they're like, I love your music. And you're like, wow, like, man, like, yeah, some, like, they like it too. And they're cool. They're okay with it. And they're okay with being liked. And then they just kind of transition the conversation into stuff that is kind of like levels everybody and makes them the same, you know. It's like, because there's the one way where it's like, I'm so crazy about your music, mm-hmm. and you're like, oh, and you're weirded out by it, mm-hmm. and then you separate yourself from people, mm-hmm. and I honestly think that the cool version, and I think the superstars of today are people that are like, dude, that's so sick, and like, you know, and they're like, let's play music right now, you know, like they're like I think that's the thing with the Evan Dando thing, is like breaking out a guitar and playing places, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Is just like, I think like that's so sick. It's like, wow, you love playing guitar, and I will pay, or you can play it in the park and I won't pay, or I'll pay and see you at Madison Square Garden. Like, I'll pay. I think Dave Grohl's kind of like that, but
it says a lot about an artist that they don't shy away from pulling out a guitar and playing, because it won't, you know, the guitar may not be in tune, you know, their voice may not be like, you know, it's a very imperfect environment for them to be performing. They don't care. It's not like they're so concerned about like, oh, I can't have this.
What if someone pulled out a guitar and they started playing and it didn't, you know, change your life and make your hair fall out? And it was like, they were just kind of like, and they were like, oh man, my voice is so rough today.
Yeah.
But they still did it.
Yeah.
I've seen Benj do it, and he's like, man, my voice is rough today, but he still plays, and you're like, that's cool.
I think it's so cool.
It's like when you do this thing, and you're like, oh, like, nah.
But
you
see, know, it's also different these days, because everybody has a cell phone, and it's amplified now. So those, you know, when Kelly Deal was hanging out with me and however many people were in the parking lot at this venue in Tulsa, Oklahoma, in whatever year, I'm not going to say how long ago it was, but it was a while ago, pre-internet, pre-cell phones, you know, like, it was a very special moment, but it was also very innocent. And it wasn't like, you know, on YouTube the next day and all these comments about like, oh, you know, she looks like hell because it just came off stage or something, or that sounded like shit or whatever. Like, so that adds a different element.
I think the next wave of people is gonna fucking not care, and like, and I think
I'd love it.
I think the next generation, and I think it's behind you, Mike. I'm sorry, I don't think your generation's into it, but
nope.
I think your generation loves the phone. but I think the next generation, and there's actually, you know, this is way off topic of our show, but go look it up. There's actually people that are really smarter than me saying that like, there's going to be a generation that comes.
I can see it. Like, the pendulum always swings. The pendulum always swings. So we're like deep, deep, deep into like, not necessarily narcissism, but like self, you know, self promotion and just like
whose album was that Pendulum Swing? We'll look it up.
But eventually, you know, it'll go to so far the extreme that it'll swing back where the opposite extreme will, you know. There's even now, like, there are articles about, like, people are, like, giving up their smartphones for, like, flip phones just because, you know, there's no apps and you can barely text on those things and they only use them to call. I mean, I am not of Mike's generation. I am old and I hate talking on the phone. I love my phone. I'm very social. I love doing social media. So I don't necessarily know that I'll be one of those people. I appreciate the time when I was a teenager and I don't have all these embarrassing photos or social media posts, you know, online that will live forever. I think that was a very innocent time, and I'm very glad to have grown up and been a teenager without a cell phone, and then was able to be old enough and to when I could afford a cell phone and all of that. So I get it. I see both ways of being about it, and I, you know, you and I were very fortunate to enjoy both, but I can totally understand the appeal of a future generation wanting to swing away from sharing everything and being connected all the time.
I kind of see what you're talking about with a couple bands right now too, just like seeing them live.
Yeah,
like this band, the Mowglies.
Yeah,
like just super.
Man, you love that band. I love how much you love that band.
I ride for them so hard.
I like the Mowglis, but just because you love them.
They're great.
I mean, not that I don't love them, but you love them so much that I love them.
Yeah, if they get the Mike Fishkin seal of approval, that just shows you that's quality, and you got to love them.
They played Troubadour. It was sold out, and no one's on their phone. Everyone just singing along happy. Mm-hmm. And then also, I went to 8123 Fest, the Mains Festival in Phoenix. They played a new song during their DJ set, and you know how kids love like being the first to post it.
Yeah.
No one had their cell phones out. Everyone was just smiling and watching.
That's really interesting. I have to say, and I don't know what this says about me, but I don't mind going to a show and paying attention to the show and not, you know, recording it or taking videos or whatever. But when someone tells me not to, I bristle at that. I get so pissed off, and I'm like, fuck you. Like even...
Well, look, here's the thing.
I may not, but like...
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
Our generation is you went and saw Nine Inch Nails and like 47 seconds of the show wasn't on your story. Like the whole show was on your story and I loved it.
Yeah.
Because A, I couldn't be there.
Yeah.
And B, I think that like our generation is like we had so much time without cell phones that we kind of like, and it's funny because I catch myself thinking like this might never happen again.
Yeah.
And it's like really weird because like there's so much in my life that's not recorded. Mm-hmm. Like I have stories. Mm-hmm. I could tell stories for fucking a year nonstop. Like crazy stories that it's all in my memory. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's really, really insane because it's like, I didn't have a cell phone for that. And somehow I remember most of it. I don't have the photos. I mean, but it's crazy because like I was saying before, like I spend so much time on the internet searching, I'm like, man, I remember this one pair of shoes that Pepe Martinez has in the 411 Video Mag. Mm-hmm. It's like interesting because it's like it's locked in. I think our generation is just kind of like, man, this is such a special moment. I don't want to share it.
My whole thing comes from a place of I want to share it. I realize that whatever video I'm going to post on Instagram is not going to be high quality.
Yeah.
But it's a taste of A, what I love, and B, what you may not be there to experience. And I love it so much that I want to share it. And that's where that comes from for me. It's not like I feel like I that's just really where that comes from. And getting back to, like, you know, I like to do, like, TBTs on Instagram. And I just did one where I shouted out where we go way back. And
it was so back.
I love seeing that.
Did you see that, dude?
I did.
And the fact that just sparked.
We look like little kids, bro.
Was just so happy. Like, I was just like, it's just such a, like, memory is a very interesting thing. And... you know, there's a, you know, photographs and videos.
Yeah.
And it's capturing special moments like that and then looking back and remembering, fuck, that was so much fun. That was so much fun. That, you know, younger kids don't know what that was and they never will. But if I can give a taste of what it was and just be like, you know, this is a really happy time in my life.
Yeah.
Please enjoy like that.
Yo,
sort of
so look, speaking of a pendulum swing, I want to play some acoustic songs by Lemonheads now.
Okay.
And this song we're going to lead in with is a song called The Outdoor Type. Like one of, I love it. It's a break. They have this kind of like, they go kind of alt country sometimes.
Yeah.
And this is in that direction, but we're going to kick it with Outdoor Type by Lemonheads.
First person.
Had a roof above me, always paid the rent, and I never set foot inside a tent. I couldn't build a fire to save my life. I lied about being the outdoor type. 1, 2, 3, 4. Watching things go by outside, out the window of the train. Easy sipping and just see.
left to right. Pour the milk and I'll say when. I'm just wandering around.
And we're back on First Person with Josh Madden.
Trent Venegas.
And we played The Outdoor Type off of Car Button Cloth, which is a later record. Maybe you'd say a middle record of Limited's releases.
Mm-hmm.
And Hannah and Gabby from Shame About Ray record. You know, we've been talking about all this stuff. I think Evan Dando is a... I personally feel like kids in this new scene of music that's going to arrive that's... you know, who's the Australian artist? I feel like such a jerk, but she, the girl from Australia right now that plays acoustic, that's kind of huge. I'll remember in a second, but she reminds me of like someone that would tour with Evan.
Oh, and, is it Mallrat?
No, I like Mallrat though.
Okay. But,
have you heard Rapaway as well?
No, I haven't.
Rapaway isn't like Evan Dando, but he's dope. He's from the UK. That's a weird shout out. I thought of him. He just dropped a record. Everyone go listen to Ratboy. No, the Evan Dando thing, I personally feel like that there's going to be a scene of music that comes up that is like this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's an existing one. Mm-hmm. Please, nobody get mad at me. But I feel like it's going to come back into mm-hmm. the visible spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
I think with independent filmmaking, which is a catalyst for, you know, exposing people to music, mm-hmm. you know. But I think, you know, and I love the acoustic stuff just because it's just like, again, like we've been saying this whole time, I like, you know, with Adobe, like people come here and they play acoustic versions of stuff and mm-hmm. you used to have 120 minutes where people would play, you know, a version of things.
Yep.
And I just think like, it's so cool. I was saying the Dose, I was shouting out the Dose, like they're doing it right now with radio stations. It's kind of like a bygone thing. Mm-hmm. Like not a lot of people go and play music on radio shows. Mm-hmm. Benji Joel did, I think it really helped them a lot. Mm-hmm. And I think that artists, if you can go and play like your song acoustic on the radio and be there for an interview, it's just mm-hmm. so cool. I just mm-hmm. don't know that it's happening as much anymore.
Yeah.
But I think it should come back into vogue. I'd listen to more terrestrial radio if that mm-hmm. was the case.
Yeah.
We're
lucky. Like LA has really, really good radio stations. So we're
hell
really
yeah.
lucky
we have
here.
Great we have great radio stations. I'm just challenging radio as a whole.
For sure.
Which is now owned by like two companies. But yeah. I'm just challenging that trend. Because I just think that it's so sick, and I think that like what these artists do, it speaks to just the soul and the heart of what you know mm-hmm. their stuff. I think again, you know, like we were talking about, we talk about Stephen Jenkins and Third Eye Blind, and we talk about the lyrics and of all this. I'm a lyric person,
mm-hmm.
and the Evan Dando stuff is so not serious and funny one second, and then it's really serious and heartbreaking the next.
Yeah.
And there's just like references that he makes, like ceiling fan in my spoon, you know, like the reflection of a ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
It's like really interesting things where I'm like, whoa, like, you know, I just think it's so interesting. And I just think it's, I don't know, I'm really pushing for, as much as I push for electronic music and bedroom production, I push for this, you know.
And there's room for all of it. Like, just because, you know, you're talking about how you want that to come back. That does not mean something else has to be replaced or pushed out.
Oh, no. By the way, this is the same thing as bedroom production.
Yeah.
A kid making bedroom production, EDM or mm-hmm. or hip-hop, trap music, whatever you want to call it, like someone making that in their bedroom and a guy or a girl with acoustic guitar in their bedroom making
guitar
this,
or
it's
piano.
It's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Same fucking thing.
Yep.
To me, it's the same fucking thing.
It's the artistic spirit that... You know, musicians just have this need or desire, or it's like their lifeblood,
like,
where they
like,
have to create, and they just do it however they can.
Like
Liz Phair wrote her whole first record, you know, on a 4-track and on a guitar in her bedroom, and made a whole career out of it. I mean, like it's a tale as old as time. Like the creation of music is not necessarily this, you know, sanitary, like in a cold studio sort of thing. It's just, it's the heart and soul, exactly like you said.
This for me, there's like, if you go on Apple or Spotify, any of the listening platforms, they're platform agnostic, I believe, but like they have the Hotel Sessions, mm-hmm. which is like hotel recordings of their songs.
So cool.
And then there's Varshans. 1 and Varshawn's 2, which is just covers of songs, like just different covers. And I think it's cool. I was going to mention, I just totally spaced, but I'm human. I was going to mention something with Evan. I'll remember in a second. It is what it is. I think for me, it's a band that people are familiar with, but people don't know their catalog, and that's why I wanted to do a show about it. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. I think all the music that he's made and all the music that they've made. There's a guy. What I was going to say is, there's a guy, an original member of the Lemonheads. Let me look him up. I thought it was really cool. Another, just an aside. Mm-hmm. One of the original members is now working in film and television, and worked on Girls and like all these, working on all these different movies. But I think it's cool. Also, just a let me look up this guy's name so I don't butcher it or say it wrong. Not Jesse Peretz. I actually tweeted him one time. Jesse Peretz is a founding member of the Lemonheads,
okay,
and he is now directing film and television,
mm-hmm.
and he was the director of their original videos, mm-hmm. which are really fucking good. Mm-hmm. By the way, awesome. Go back and look at what they were doing with an independent budget.
Yep.
But Jesse Peretz, Girls, Nurse Jackie, like all the New Girl, like Mindy Project, The Office, like, and he was like a dude from the Lemonheads. Mm-hmm. So crazy. Mm-hmm. I just think it's cool. I think it's cool that like when I forget. I looked him up because he was I noticed he was making all this interesting stuff.
Uh-huh.
I do this a lot. Like, uh-huh. if I notice someone is making a lot of interesting stuff, I look him up just to see, like, where is this person from? Mm-hmm. Like, what's their deal?
Mm-hmm.
And he was one of the original members of Lemonheads. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh, I wonder what videos he directed.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to look up all his, and I was like, whoa, this is crazy. Like, so he was just at one point, I guess, maybe between records, was like, hey, guys, like, I think I'm going to chase this. And
that's great.
It's dope. And I want to get a hold of him because I would like to see their whole original lineup play some songs.
That would be amazing.
Just because, you know, even if it wasn't like, mm-hmm. again, like we're talking about, like, it doesn't have to be like, oh, well, it's better when we play that guy. Like, mm-hmm. I just think it's dope. You know, like, it's something that I've learned about, like, someone like Travis Barker,
mm-hmm.
who plays on anything and everything, and people just hit him up and they're like, mm-hmm. will you play drums on this? And he's just like, yeah. And he's not like, oh, well, I don't feel like, you know, like, he just does it.
Yeah.
You know, I was talking to Zach about it. I was like, man, he just plays on everything. And he's like, yep, he just shows up and he'll play, you know. And it's like, yeah, that's sick. You know, like, that guy is like, to me, like, that's like, it's weird that it's prolific.
Yeah.
That someone would be that way. Because it's like,
I mean, I don't think it's weird necessarily, because someone who's prolific, they have this need. Like, they have this need to perform. And if they're vibing with,
yeah.
you know, whoever's asking,
yeah.
or if it's something that's out of their wheelhouse or something completely fresh and new that will challenge them,
yeah.
it makes complete sense to me that they'd be like, yeah, show me, like, let's do it.
So here's a question. Do you have, what songs have we not played? We've not played a lot, but do you have a song that you would... Maybe it's a shame or lemon. I love Come On Feel because like Juliana's mm-hmm. on a bunch of those songs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Man, Rick James style. I remember that. We used to skateboard to that song and I just thought it was so cool that there was a song. Rick James style is a song that's like mostly, I believe it's all instrumental.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly instrumental. It's just like a jam session. See, that's the thing that's interesting about this band, Mike. Mike's a little bit younger. Like songs like Into Your Arms were like huge songs
yep.
that were like on movies and stuff.
Yep.
And then on the same record, they would have a song like Rick James style that was like, you would go, like, the normie guy or girl would go discover this band and probably, who knows if they'd be into that song. But they were like, not trying to, like, they were just like, this is our record, you know?
That's so
like,
cool.
This is what we want to make, you know? And their pop songs are really poppy, and their other songs are not poppy. Like, they're just, like, Lemonhead songs. What do you think, Trent? What are we looking at here?
It's funny, because there was this whole... there's this whole thing about like the Gen X artists from like the 90s.
Yeah.
Like Gen X, and I'm Gen X. We love nostalgia.
Yeah.
And do you remember like the Schoolhouse Rock
yep.
songs from yep. like the late 70s, early 80s? It was like...
what song did they do for Schoolhouse?
So
they did.
What did they do? Hang on.
They did. I feel like I know it.
They did one of the songs on the record. Hang on a second. Sorry. We are furiously looking at our. They did. They did My Hero Zero.
Yeah. Should we play that?
Yeah, let's play that.
Let's play My Hero Zero in first person.
Zero?
Yeah. Zero is a wonderful thing. In fact, Zero is my hero.
How can Zero be a hero?
Well, there are all kinds of heroes. You know, a man can get to be a hero for a famous battle he fought or by studying very hard and becoming a weightless astronaut.
Wow.
And then there are heroes of other sorts, like the heroes, you know, from watching sports.
Oh.
But a hero doesn't have to be a grown-up person, you know. A hero can be a very big dog who comes to your rescue. Or a very little child who's smart enough to know what to do. But let me tell you about my favorite hero. My hero, Zero. Such a funny little hero. But till you came along, we counted on our fingers and toes. Now you're here to stay. And nobody really.
Back on First Person, it's Josh Madden.
Trent Venegas.
And that was My Hero Zero from
Schoolhouse Rock.
I think I honestly think that they probably are on a bunch of those comps as well.
Yeah.
Playing like covers like yeah. that. There's a song. Here's an interesting story. Well, not interesting, but there's a song that I sing. I've sung my daughter to sleep with this song since she was born. Mm-hmm. It's a song called Frank Mills. It's in a play called Hair.
Uh-huh.
And I've never seen Hair. I've never seen Hair.
It's a good show.
I've never seen Hair. I'm not really a theater person.
Yeah.
Like, I did theater in high school. I did theater as a young person. I think that I'm not a theater person because I this is really kind of messed up.
Well, but, theater and musical theater are very different.
Well, musical theater for me is kind of fucked up because I feel like they're not doing anything I can't do. That's really fucked up. It's really fucked up. I've been to Broadway shows.
Oh, yeah,
and
really.
I literally
you can do Wicked and
dude,
all that.
It's really fucked up because I see musical theater and I'm like, I can do that. Like, it's like, cool. It's really fucked up, bro.
I was watching American Idiot. I was like, yeah, Josh could be doing Billy Joe Armstrong.
Dude, you know what? It's really fucked
honestly,
up.
Honestly, I do find it hard to believe that there's not anything you couldn't do.
No.
I do believe you.
I definitely have self-esteem problems, but there's certain areas of things like, I definitely, there's a lot of stuff in this life that I can't do, but it's a funny thing because I really am unimpressed with the theater. I've saw Book of Mormon. I've seen like so many, not so many shows. Yeah. I've seen like a handful of shows, lived in New York for 13 years. Mm-hmm. And I literally like go and people are like, oh my God, like dude, crazy thing. I went to that one. Do you remember Tabby Gibbonson that started Rookie? She was in a show like This Is Youth or Our Youth or something like that.
Okay, yeah.
Crazy sideline story. I'm wearing a Sonic Youth shirt.
Uh-huh.
Old Sonic Youth shirt. Really like crazy old Sonic Youth, like 1986 Sonic Youth shirt.
Yeah.
I'm standing on the stairs, getting ready to wait and go to the bathroom. It's a really small theater.
Uh-huh.
And I'm standing on the stairs and I'm wearing a jacket with like it's open, it's unzipped, and you can see the Sonic Youth shirt. And I literally feel someone looking at me and it's fucking Thurston Moore. And I'm literally like looking at my phone and my shirt's like hanging out Sonic Youth. And he's like literally looking right at me. Mm-hmm. I literally put my phone in my back pocket and like zipped up my jacket. Like straight up zipped my fucking jacket up. Like I was like, oh no, I'm cool. Like I'm, you know, and I'm also at theater right now. Thurston Moore. And by the way, he was cool story. He was filling up a plastic like one of those Nalgene bottles at the water fountain. And I was like, dude, that's so cool. Like you're so cool.
Very eco-friendly.
But anyways, to the theater thing, this like every fucking my life is a tangent. But
yeah, you're unimpressed by Broadway. The Tonys are shook.
I have respect for thespians.
Yep.
I just literally I'm like, okay, put me in it. You know, like whatever.
Put me in, coach. And
anyways, so I was playing Frank Mills one time for a friend of mine, and she's a huge wild theater head, and she's like, oh my God, like I love that show. And I'm like, what show? And she's like,
Hair.
Oh, this is, and I just thought it was a really good songwriting. I was like, because he's just a good songwriter.
Yeah.
Damn, man. There's so many. Big Gay Heart, like one of my favorite songs.
Oh, yeah.
Dawn Can't Decide. Man, there's so many. Dude, I don't know. What record would you say you should start on? Like, if you just discovered the Lemonheads.
I mean,
I guess the greatest hits, but like, I mean, like,
I
what?
I mean, I say this all the time. I'm a big pop head, and, yeah, you know, I love the hits. I do. I love the hits.
Yeah.
I mean, It's a Shame About Ray is a really, really great record with really, really great songs. Many of them are hits, and it gives you a really good, you know, like,
yeah,
it's like their fourth record. So, you know, they hit their stride. I mean, yeah. I think that's a good record for them for people to start on.
Shame About Ray is good. So look, Mike is just doing the wrap it up B. So we're wrapping it up. This is our last show of the season. You can go listen to all of these and all of the old, you know, it's funny because I fucking hate the old first person now. I love this one.
Okay, Stephen Jenkins over there. It's the first person, yeah, I grew up,
yeah,
on.
Well, here's the deal. We'll be back and we're going to work on this idea of like what we're going to become. But I definitely think that this team is like way more fun. It's so much more fun than doing it. I super appreciate, you know, this is not like a funded thing. It's like something that we do in our time. And I appreciate everyone that listens. To all of them and everyone that gives IW time, because it's a lot. Like, I feel like I'm on public radio right now, but it's like driven by the people.
It's true.
Yeah, I'm trying to look really quick and see what we should play as we go out, because there's so many songs I fucking love from this band. I really encourage you to go listen to the Frank Mills cover if you like theater or not. It's really good. And I'm trying to figure out. Fuck. I just don't know. My drug buddy's so good. I'm going to go back to this record. I don't know, bro. It's so hard. It's About Time is so good. It's About Time is really, really good.
It's probably about time for us to wrap this up.
No, I'm talking about It's About Time.
Exactly. Yeah. Let's play that.
It's About Time.
What a segue.
All right,
what a
cool
way to end the season.
What a way to end the season, just getting pwned by Trent Venegas. All right, man. Any last words, Trent?
This has been a really fun season, yeah, and I cannot wait for season 2.
Awesome. Thank you guys. Thanks, Mike.
Anytime. Thanks for including me. This has been fun.
Awesome, yeah, man. Go listen to all the Lemonheads music. We'll see you next season.
Love y'all.
All right. Peace.
Bite my tongue, and I won't say a word against anyone. Don't want to get my fingers wet unless it's an accident. I fell out in the street. Now I'm watching my shoes and I grit my teeth. But I don't have to look that way if I had half a say.